morning.
And I just want to welcome some new friends I met at VBS. Thank you for coming. And please feel free and welcome. Today I'd like to start with asking some questions. The question is, when do you feel the most near to God? When do you feel most near to God? When you feel most near to God? When you pray, do you feel most near to God? When you read Bible, do you feel you are most near to God? You are sitting here. Do you realize you are near to God? Are all this your answer? And or in occasions of hard times, you engulfed by your fear, you are awed by the circumstances, you feel you are alone by yourself in the troubles, or do you feel, or you're sure that God is with you? Are you near to God during those times? Or you are very happy. When you're very happy in theme parks or in supermarkets, when you are driving or watching movie, do you feel you are with God? God is near you? Or you are in exams, hard questions, you don't know how to answer. Are you by yourself or are you near to God? When do you feel the most near to God? What is near to God? Why we come here? Beautiful pastors, last Sunday morning, early in the morning, I read Psalm 42 that talks about near to God. He hungered for God. The psalmist was distressed. He wants near to God like deer. You know, like the song says, as deer pants for water, so my heart pants for you, Lord God. I want you. And near to God is something that we take for granted, or we think, you know, come to worship is near to God. You know, what happened to me was when I was in seminary, we were very busy studying, and we have so many worships to go. But we're studying, and we need to finish reports, book reports. We need to prepare for exams. We need to prepare for weekend service in the church. We have friends and some people need us to counsel, to help. So we are so busy. We were so busy. So each time when we have 50 minutes or 40 minutes worship in between classes, my heart wasn't in that worship. Many of us were like that, you know, during those times. We were distressed, we were busy, we were in between of many things. So our heart really is not focused on God. I don't feel any near to God. I was so separated. I was so busy-minded. I was so up and down. That is to say, I didn't feel near to God at all. So we went to talk to the seminary president and asked him, why this happened? We're supposed to near to God in every part of the seminary days. But on the opposite, many of us could not. So it is really a test for everyone. I mean everybody. So today we talk this, near to God, because this is something Bible mentioned, and we want to focus and read those passages, please, with me. And you he made alive, who are dead in trespasses and sins, and in which you once walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom all we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourself, is a gift of God, not of a worker, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, for God prepared before him that we should walk in him. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by circumcision made in the flesh by hand, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and have broken down the middle wall of separation, have abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments that contain in the ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off, and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, and having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So we have to prepare this message. I prepare this message in three parts. First, why? Why we draw near to God? As I described, we have circumstances, we have different situations, but why we draw near to God? And secondly, how? How can we draw near to God? Thirdly, what is the goal of near to God? So, first, we have some Chinese characters here. Because eternally, God prepares us as the focus of his love. Human beings are God's focus. And in eternal, the first Chinese means eternity. God's eternal plan is to have human beings to be the center of his creation, to be his purpose of love. Whole creation focus on human beings, on you and me. We are his apple of eye. We are His focus. He wants us to be loved. And on the other hand, our earthly life is short and temporal. The second Chinese word is this earthly life. Earthly. And thirdly, in Old Testament, salvation is a promise for all human beings. God prepares. So, and then in New Testament, the third Chinese character are New Testament is that all of us are walking death. The truth is that we are dead because we are separated. So we need to come to God. So eternally, because God, the three in one, cares for you and me. And on this earth, only Jesus can come to save us. Jesus became as you and me takes human form. He was God, but conceived by the Holy Spirit in Virgin Mary. And he came down with full divinity and full humanity without sin and with God as his person that he came to save us. So the Old Testament promise he will come through Jew. And New Testament, he came to become human being on the earth, preached the gospel, showed his mercy, showed God's will. And he eventually died on the cross, crucified for you and me, so that he can bring us back to him, so that we can have a near relationship in Jesus Christ. And the church is a proof. Jesus is risen. We believe Jesus Christ. Jesus risen. Why? Those disciples, they have Jesus in their lives. They confess Jesus, and the Holy Spirit came down, and they preached the gospel, and from generations, the church is a proof that Jesus is risen. We are his purpose. So, supposedly, and we all believe, and we all know, in the church, we are near to God. We are with God. God is with us. Actually, Jesus' name, as he was born, his name was Emmanuel. God is with us. So by that promise, we are with God, no matter what. That's a promise. One of my questions was, in the beginning, were those questions were temporal. We are here. How can we have that close relationship without any hindrance? And in fact, that is every Christian's struggle. We need to live a life without barrier between us and God. So, we all sin. Because we live in this world, and worldly patterns show we are away from God. And sin, temptations, and all our expressions, everything shows we are away from God. And the chaos of ethics, morality, and everything on this earth shows there we are. Here we are. We are away from God. Politics, economics, military system, education, everything shows people are away from God. There is such a serious problem, even churches. We become secular. We become like the world. We are away from God because Christians, we have to say we are the reason, because we're sinners. We have sinful nature. We like to make ourselves feel comfortable. When that happens, we are away from God. So believers are called away from God, and we have complaints, we have doubts, we have ups and downs, we learn the worldly way. We have so many ways to show we are away from God. So, by grace, through faith, the Bible says we can come to God. The first passage that we can read now again to say that God shows the way. Okay, read the several verses together, please. And you, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were made by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But this last part really struck me, or strike me, that any time when my heart is away, when my heart rests on something that is not pleasing God, I draw the curse, the wrath from God. Not that I become a lawbreaker, I become some obvious sinner, but my heart, but my attitude. So many times when I quiet down by myself, I said, hey, Pastor, hi, Philip, you know what? You are not under the blessing of God. You are under the wrath of God because of this attitude, because of this mind, because of your inner problem. That is, back to the questions in the beginning, that is many of the busyness that made me busy to fulfill the lost, the connection, internal connection with God. When I was busy trying to resolve problems, even this morning, you know, I tried to finish some PowerPoint. I was so enjoyed by my preparation. I said, oh, this is good, this is good. All of a sudden, they all stopped. I cannot continue. Supposedly, when a preacher prepares the sermon, should be the time most mindedly close to God. But when I started to enjoy myself, I say to myself, hey, this is a beautiful presentation. God reminded me, there, you are under the wrath of enjoying yourself. Maybe you say it's too harsh, but that's a fact. This morning just happened around 8:30. And I prayed, I said, hey, please help me, Lord. I can also continue without PowerPoint. But I say, well, Lord, that would make myself easier because I'm not a by nature English speaker. So I need some help. This is my help. I prepare like notes. So this note everybody can read to make myself feel more comfortable and easier because you read and you have some information from your eyes without listening to me that you can have some word from God. But during that moment, I said, no, 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 Lord, I confess, I just enjoyed myself so much, I lost my focus on you. So, near to God is focus on God, not on ourselves, not on me, for the case of this morning. So about less than 10 minutes, I figured out and pray, nothing to panic, because I think I asked God to be with me. Holy Spirit, teach me to speak to you. He teaches me why I'm speaking, even now. So that is the meaning. That is the practice of near to God. So prayer may not bring you near to God. Your heart drifts away. Reading the Bible will not bring you to God unless you really focus. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Worship will not bring you to God until in the worship your heart listens to God, obey Him, confess that you need Him, or ask Him to help you to understand or bring your heart with Him, convict you, or lift your burden to God. Then you are really near to God. then we are really with God. Near to God is trying to have a with God internally. A with God mindset, a with God responses, a with God mental condition, a with God emotional relationship, emotional responses. So I really praise God. This morning he taught me, oh sorry, this is for my one. Yeah, bear with me. Okay, the next passage I should ask you to follow is, please read with me. But now, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. This morning I really went through this process because I was lost. I was dead. That means no progress. You know, preparation of the message, no progress. The preparation of the PowerPoint, no way to go. Dead in the transgressions of me. Enjoy me. Enjoy what I did. So I pray. Ask Jesus, hey, bring me through. Lord God, help me. And he really raised me up from that dead walk of preparing the PowerPoint. And I really enjoy a heavenly relationship with Christ because he raised me up. I can see my problem. I know now then how to point the curse, whatever that point of that to the place, to remove the screen a little bit and the side column of different slides can show up and I can point where I need to copy and paste and whatever that I need to do. That is you in every moment when we realize we are not with Christ, we have trouble, we are too much in ourselves, we need to go back to God. That is always our daily walk with God, move from moment to moment. So we answer the why. Why? Because we went afar from God and God's grace plan wants us to go back. So now, how do we go near to God? Holy Spirit draws us to the blood of Christ Jesus, because in verse 17 it says, God of our Lord Christ Jesus, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. This is Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17. Until we have eternal awareness, Holy Spirit lighten us up. John 16 verse 7 through 12 tells us Holy Spirit has a purpose come to us. He convict us of our sin, convict us of the righteousness of God, convict us because God has judgment in the last day. For those convictions, when we realize we are away from God, when we have eternal enlightenment, eternal eye, we will not see our darkness. Without that, we will not come back, ask God for help. We will not come back to Jesus, hey, Lord God, help me. This is a practical practice we need to know, because the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. The hope is always in the Christ, in the Holy Spirit. He is always there. Only sometimes that we made Holy Spirit worry. We are by ourselves, walk our own way. So, we have hope the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We become the inheritance in Christ. God wants us to be glorified, to be redeemed. In what way? Not only by the time we confess, that time we born again, not by the time we were in baptism, but from every moment of the day. Our life, our quality of life, our spiritual character grows. That is what this is about. We become inheritance. We become a growing body of Christ. We know how to walk with Christ by his blood, to obey his word. And thirdly, in verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? So Holy Spirit has a power, but many times we forgot. Many times we do not use them. We let the power sit there. So this is a reminder that we want to have to use. Oh, sorry, go back. Because for which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. He's talking about how Jesus raised Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And now Jesus is on the right hand of God. That power is the one in us. I met a missionary in Taiwan once. That was the beginning of my ministry time. He shared with me about this. That time was a theory, but now I understand this more. The historical occurrence of Jesus died on the cross and resurrection and raised up to the heaven, the spiritual battle, the victory Jesus has, that power is the power now in you, in me. Realize that and apply it. And he put all things under his feet. Jesus has a victory. And we are called, he is the head of the church. So church is his purpose. You and me is his purpose. And we are his body. He fills us with the power of the Holy Spirit. He fills us so that we have the power. And the power is the power overcome not of sin and death, but also the law. 1 Corinthians 15, 56 and 57, let's read together. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Christians do not know how to walk with God. We felt we have our means. Prayer, service, small group, Bible study, worship, every good works. We think, I've done this, I've done that. I offer my tithing. I've done everything. Lord God, why you are away from me when I'm in trouble? That's how it works. Our good works of serving God will not bring us near to God. Remember, this is the same thing as the Old Testament way of me going near to God. They cannot please God by offering sacrifice, by fasting. Remember now, in the church, we taught you, we are practicing fast and pray. Remember, that is not going to bring us near to God. We must know works of law will separate us from God. Jesus' victory already wiped out our way. We must know by faith alone. By the blood of Christ alone. His salvation alone. His death and the resurrection alone. Christ Jesus alone. I will not be able to help you unless you put your faith in Christ alone in times of any kinds of challenge. Praise God. Thanks be to God. He has victory over our works. This is the good news. This is the gospel. So let's read this several more verses together. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called circumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hand, that at that time you were with Christ, without Christ, being alien from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you were once were far away, far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So, the third one would be, what is our goal? Why? Because we're sinners. How? By the blood of Christ, through Holy Spirit, reminding us every time, each moment of our daily walk. And what is our goal? The goal is to grow in Christ. Christ is our peace because he's the truth. The Chinese is generally truth. And Christ has broken down the wall, the middle wall of separation. The third in Chinese character is righteousness. His righteousness to make every one of us in him have God, has the same kind of righteousness. And that's the good news. The third one is gospel. And we keep our faith in him, we will have the salvation to the end. Otherwise, God's word says, the last one is God's word, the logos of God, logos. Otherwise, we are separated by our own efforts. We are separated by our own mind. We think wrongly and we become separated. Many times we don't fear the nearness of God because we lost the goal. And Jesus reconciled us all to God because that is written in the Bible, no matter Jews or Gentiles, we are all called together. He broke down the wall of separation. Nations, peoples, in the middle, we are separation, this worship. We pray that will be the goal of this church, and it is also promised in the Revelation. Finally, in the heaven, every color, every kind of people will be before him. Every language, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of God. That is the righteousness and gospel and faith and the salvation. And Jesus remove the difference, remove the enmity. So we need to put down the differences. Our pride and the prejudice, our skin color, our cultural backgrounds, everything we need to let go. And let God, God's word, the last one. God's word is the standard. God's word help us. So let's repeat this God, Jesus Christ, is our cornerstone. The cornerstone that gives us the goal to go forward. Let's read this verses together. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Therefore, laying aside all malice or deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also are living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which you reject has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, and you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which you observe glorify God in the day of his coming. In the end, I share with you a true story. This is a man in his late 30s. He was 38. He's a medical doctor in Southern California. He was driving Rolls Royce, a very nice car. And the interior of the car showed he's prestigious in his circle. But tears went down his cheeks, and he felt empty. He reflected the past around 20 years. He came from Hong Kong. He attempted to work his ways to finish his college in 3 years, and he's PhD in philosophy and medical doctor in 6 years, double PhD. And he worked very hard to manage to sustain a 10-employee private clinic. Not only that, he wants to be prestigious in American society, so he joined a Jewish hospital in Southern California. In 4 years, from an ordinary doctor doctors, network doctors among others. He became the chief medical doctor in that group. The Jews hated him, said this is a yellow disaster to them. He has a beautiful wife, nice wife, and three children. Yet he felt the past about 20 years he lost. He lost himself. When he was 14, he was baptized in the church. He used to be very faithful. He feared the Lord. He remembered the word of God when he was young. But busyness of reaching the goal of his life, high degrees, good works, good income, good family, a 8,000 square feet house, a nice car. He thought those things were bring him peace, as he used to know when he was 14. But the more days he went, the far away he was from that peace and joy. He wanted to satisfy his desire, so he traveled all over the world to many places to eat the great tasty food. But by the end, he felt empty. So then he tried, music. He tried to collect art. He even tried writing. He was a good writer. And he tried to find love in different women. But the more he did, the more empty he had. He went through counseling for more than a year, but couldn't help him. He even tempted suicide. On the other hand, he had three good friends. They were also his high school and college classmates, and they also were doctors. But two of them became ministers, sharing gospel. Another one on the way. They tried to help him, telling him, back to God. But before they started to talk more, he stopped them. He turned away from their message. Because he thought they are not as rich as he is. But on the other hand, he found they had peace. 1987, October 1st, when he was in Yosemite traveling with his family, he found something very big in his stomach and went back. Doctor found there's a tumor in his stomach. After about 20 doctors, different specialists together, they diagnosed that he had only 1 year to live. And they searched everything and found out, make sure that that is not the only area he has problem. Actually, all over his body, he had cancer cells or tumors everywhere. And UCLA Medical Center said he has also cancer liver. He only has opportunity to have a transplant, liver transplant, 50% successful rate, 1 year to live. Before his surgery, several days, night before, he called his teacher, used to be his good counselor, counselor asked him, how many days, the doctor said, you leave? He said, well, 50% leave chance of success of surgery, 1 year to leave. So the teacher told him, okay, the teacher is a Christian. First, you have come back to God to have reconciliation with God. Confess that you went away from God. And secondly, confess your wife. You made him suffer. When you reach your success, you made him suffer. Try to have reconciliation with your wife. Thirdly, make reconciliation to your children, your three children. Tell them that you didn't show them the right way. Your life pattern shows them otherwise. The worldly chasing pattern will become their life if they have no other way to know the true salvation of Christ. Tell them you did know the past, but you blocked the opportunity by your lifestyle. When he put down the phone, he thought, well, this might be the last opportunity I had. So he knelt down, he confessed to God that he went away. He tried to find the true peace, true joy, true success, but he failed and failed miserably. With so many earthly riches, earthly success, yet totally empty. He even wanted to die. But now, death is so near. As a doctor, he didn't know how to handle. So, he confessed to Jesus Christ. He turned to God. At the end of his prayer, he found the peace. He found there's no worry about the result of the surgery. No worry about what's going to happen to his wife and children. No worry. So he woke up his wife, told him what happened, and said sorry to his wife. Asked his wife to forgive him. His wife did. And his wife prayed, confess her sin, ask Christ to cleanse her heart, and she also had the peace. Even though she realized that her husband is going to die, most likely, if not immediately, maybe surely a year or less. But she has peace, no fear, no worry, no panic. Second morning, Dr. Xu Zhiwei, actually I didn't tell you his name, Xu Zhiwei, called his daughter, the oldest one, is going into college, but not yet. The second one, son, has not been in high school. And the third one, daughter, still in primary school. So I forgot to tell you. The night before, he prayed to God and he said, well, he talked to his two children, asked for forgiveness, and told them they can also ask forgiveness of God. The three children did the same thing. Then he called his teacher, the counselor. He told him the story of the three steps he did. Then the teacher told him, congratulations, now you reconciled yourself with God. The blood of Jesus Christ made you new. You now can ask God whatever is in your mind. Talk to God. He's your Father. Put your worry in your care in his hand. So, he asked God about his surgery. saying that I do not know what's going to happen, but I trust you. The surgery is in your hand. But I need your mercy on me. Will you give me opportunity to see my daughter graduate from college, and my son graduate from high school into college, and my younger daughter into high school? 3 years? Then he went into the surgery. The doctor opened his body, found all the other tumor, cancer, are gone. And he took out the big tumor in his stomach. And UCLA spent 3 weeks and sent to a lab in D.C. checked out to search if this is a cancer. No more. That is an ordinary big tumor. The doctor gave him the report saying, hey, someone did something in your body. They all changed. Congratulations. There's no cancer at all. Doctor told him, you can have 3 years more to live. The spiritual health is the center of our hope. Our spiritual health depends on the blood of Christ. Our spiritual growth depends on our continual drawing the grace of God in Christ Jesus, that we may grow in every way. Our care, our worry, our success, everything. I pray that all of us will be able to walk closely by the blood of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. We thank you for your love in Christ Jesus. We are sinners. We are still affected by this worldly pattern. Gradually, we can walk away. But gradually, we can walk closer to you. Help us to choose the right way. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.